So let's take our Bibles, if you please, turn this morning to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We've been studying through the Gospel of John, and we now have reached chapter 10. But before we begin reading in verse 1, we finished chapter 9 last week, or 2 weeks ago. And we saw that a blind man was healed. And this created quite a stir because Jesus healed the blind man on the Sabbath day. And for the Jew, that was a big no-no. And so Jesus Christ, we see the conflict here with the Pharisees, and we saw by the end that the blind man told the Pharisees that, look, this could not be anybody else than the Christ. Look at what he's done. Listen to what he said. So they ended up throwing him out. They excommunicated him because he had been healed and because he believed that the man who healed him was the Messiah. We saw that this man trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And the title of the message 2 weeks ago was, Who Was the Real Blind Man? And the real blind people were the religious leaders of the day. How can the blind lead the blind? And that's, now with this in mind, we begin chapter 10 and verse 1. And Jesus begins to teach, and this is connected to the same crowd that have just heard and seen what has taken place. And the Bible says, John chapter 10 verse 1, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now I want you to notice throughout this chapter, we have an expression that comes several times, but the title of shepherd. And Jesus in this passage calls himself repeatedly the good shepherd. So therefore, I want to preach this morning on this. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, what we have clearly seen thus far in the Gospel of John is a group of religious leaders, religious zealots who had failed in feeding the people of God. When Jesus Christ comes on the scene, we must be aware that the people of Israel were still God's people. The Jew were the chosen of God to be His representatives in this world. And the religious crowd of the day were not feeding the sheep of God. We see here this illustration perfectly in this passage, and we cannot think of this passage without going back to Jeremiah chapter 23. So let's go there to Jeremiah chapter 23, because Jesus Christ here in this parable, in this teaching, as He's teaching them, is clearly referring to Jeremiah chapter 23. Notice Jeremiah 23 as you turn there. We'll begin reading here in verse number 1. Jeremiah 23, verse 1. Notice the Word of God says, as we think about John chapter 10, in the beginning of... I'm on 26 here. 23, sorry, a few pages back. 23, notice the Bible says, "Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." Now, the word pastor means shepherd. And notice here, the pastors, the shepherd, destroys and scatter the sheep of the pasture, saith the Lord. Notice verse 2, "Therefore... thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." Verse 5, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby ye shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now in this passage here, Jeremiah is used of God to preach to, again, the religious leaders in Israel. Now Jeremiah is preaching to Judah, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has been straying away from the Lord, and Jeremiah was a prophet sent of God to prophesy and to preach to the two tribes in the south, Judah and Benjamin. And as he's preaching, he's laying the blame on the pastors, the religious leaders, those that had authority, religiously speaking, in the nation of Israel, and particularly Judah. And he says that the pastors, the shepherds, have led the flock of God astray. They've scattered them. They've dispersed them. They have not done the job that they were supposed to do. They've actually done the opposite, because the job of a shepherd is what? To gather, to take care of the sheep. Not to scatter them, but to gather them and to provide for them. Now, with this in mind, in John chapter 10, Jesus Christ, as He's preaching and giving this parable, is clearly referring to Jeremiah, where the condition in that time, as He's preaching here to those people and to the religious leaders, is clearly the same condition that the nation of Israel was facing in Jeremiah's day, where the religious leaders were scattering the flock. Now, what just happened in chapter 9? We just saw in chapter 9 here that the man, remember, that was blind, that was sitting here outside of the temple as Jesus Christ was escaping the Jews from stoning him, Jesus stops us just for a moment to heal this blind man. The blind man is healed, and then the whole city is in an uproar because this man was healed on the Sabbath. And so the Sadducees and the Pharisees ask this man and say, well, he wasn't probably really blind, and he's probably a sinner, and Jesus Christ is not the Messiah. He's a sinner himself as well. And you know what happened as they questioned the blind man further? The blind man kind of said, well, why don't you believe that this is the Messiah? I mean, look at what he's done. I'm telling you, I was blind from birth. My parents know that. They've confessed that I am their son. And because he confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, he was the Christ, they threw him out of the temple. They excommunicated him. What were they doing? They scattered the sheep. That's what they did. They separated themselves and said, we have no dealings with you anymore. Now remember, the consequences for that was not just for him, but for anybody else that would help him. It was almost like to them, this blind man that had confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Why? Because the Bible tells us, notice, in verse 22 of chapter 9, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. That means excommunicated, separated. No one would help this man anymore. No one would have fellowship with this man anymore. Why? Because he's chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. So with this in mind here, Jesus, as he's preaching here about, notice here, the shepherd, the good shepherd, the true shepherd, he's speaking of the flock, referring to Jeremiah chapter 23, just after the evidence of what he's preaching about, that the religious leaders of the day were not trying to shepherd and help the flock of God, but they were, as a matter of fact, scattering the flock of God and bringing confusion to the people of God. So with this in mind, we're going to look at three things this morning as we think about the good shepherd. The first thing we see in this passage is, first of all, the evidence of the good shepherd. What is the evidence that Jesus Christ was the good shepherd? Well, notice verse 1. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I want us to think, as we think about the evidence of the good shepherd, is first of all, the first evidence that Jesus Christ was the good shepherd is first of all, his access to the fold. How did Jesus Christ come to the people of Israel? Now, he's just illustrating for us now here how the religious leaders of the day had come into the fold of God. Because remember, the people of Israel are God's people. They were not the Pharisees' people. They were not the Sadducees' people. They were not the high priest's people. They were the people of God. And so as he's addressing them, he's saying, notice he says, that he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is the same as a thief and a robber. Now the word thief and robber are different, although the same. They both steal, but the thief steals in secret, in the dark when nobody sees. The robber, on the other hand, is someone who takes by force in the open something that doesn't belong to him. So here Jesus Christ is speaking directly to the religious leaders of the day and says, you've been a thief and a robber. Not only have you deceived the people through the teachings that you've added to my word, but also you've, just as it is seen in this man, you've pushed away this man from the temple of God. A man who is part of the fold. You've excommunicated him by force. He says, you're thieves and robbers. Now, before we continue here, as we study this passage here, the fold or the sheepfold is speaking of the people of God, the Israelites, the Jews. Now, we're going to see by the end, it's going to extend them more than the Jews. But this fold that he's speaking of, that the thieves and the robbers are coming into, is the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel had been infiltrated now by many sects. You had the Pharisees, you had the Sadducees, you had the Herodians, all these different people who were always battling against one another were all thieves and robbers that had come into the fold of God, not by the door. But Jesus came through the door. Notice verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, notice here, the access here, the thief and the robber comes not by the door. They come and they scatter and they disperse the sheep. But the true shepherd, the one who is truly the shepherd of the sheep, comes in. How? By the door. He doesn't come in secret. He doesn't try to scatter the people of God. He comes in the open, honestly and in truth. And by the way, that's exactly how Jesus came. So notice that's his access to the fold. We're going to see that here, how he accesses. We see number two, not only his access to the fold, but we see number two, his announcement to the fold. Verse 3, the Bible tells, to him, that's the shepherd that comes by the door, the porter openeth. Now, the word porter here is simply this, is the man that guards the door. Now, let me put it this way. Back then, when you have a sheepfold, many times the shepherd would bring the sheep, and many times they would bring them to an enclosed area. Many times it would be a cave. So after leading the sheep outside and in pasture and drink, they would bring them back at nighttime into the fold. It would be enclosed. There would be no physical door there, but the porter would be the door. The man who would stand right at the edge of the cave would protect the sheep that were inside from any wolf coming into the sheepfold. So the porter is the one that stands at the door that guards the sheepfold. And notice the Bible says, to him, the shepherd, the real shepherd, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, I believe that the porter here, because it is clear, is referring to John the Baptist. In other words, when Jesus Christ came, he came in truth. He didn't come hiding. He didn't come deceiving. He didn't come in the corner. He came right to the door, and the porter openeth the door. The porter announces to the sheep. Just on the other hand, evidenced all the signs of the true shepherd supported by the scriptures. Think about how would Jesus come? Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 7 verse 14 that Jesus, the Messiah, would be virgin born. Born of a virgin. We see according to Micah, he would be born in Bethlehem. We see according to Hosea chapter 11 verse 1, he would flee to Egypt for security. We see according to Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 15, that the enemy, an enemy would rage against his birth. Now there's many more evidence of how Jesus would come, but notice when Jesus Christ comes into this world, he came in what? He came in truth. And John the Baptist was really the porter of the sheeple who came. And remember, as we saw earlier in chapter 1 and chapter 2, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, what do they say? John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In other words, when Jesus came, he didn't come deceiving and trying to scatter the flock. He came in truth, which is what separates him from all the religious leaders of the day who are not bothering about truth. They had added many things to the law. They had added the Talmud to the law of God, and they were not strictly using the Word of God. They had added their own things to the law of God. They had deceived the people. They had scattered the people. But the Bible says here, the true shepherd, Jesus is preaching, the porter openeth. In other words, he's announced. And the way he comes is in truth. You see the prophecies that have been foretold? That is exactly how Jesus came. Now, at that time, we find that throughout these several hundred years, people had come to the scene before and announced themselves to be the Messiah. That was a common thing then. Everybody wanted to be the Messiah. And no doubt, some of these people perhaps had become religious leaders. But we see here that the announcement was clear. John the Baptist, who was predicted in the Word of God, would come and announce the Messiah. And everybody recognized that John the Baptist was a man of God, even the religious leaders of the day. So see, the evidence of the Good Shepherd is not only his access to the fold, he came through the door, but also the announcement to the fold. But we also see, thirdly, not only his access, his announcement, but we see his actions to the fold. Notice what this shepherd does, which separates him from the thief and the robber, verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep, notice, hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now the Bible tells us here that the sheep hear his voice. It is clear that, by the way, if you know anything about shepherds, that a shepherd that watches over his flock, his sheep, the sheep know who the shepherd is. If you were just to walk out in the field and walk right into the midst of the where the sheep are gathered, they would scatter around and they would go to the where their shepherd is. Why? Because they know the shepherd. And if you're not the shepherd, they do not follow you. They do not listen to you. Why? Because the sheep know the voice. So think about the voice. In Jesus Christ, as he came, what did he do? He preached. He taught. And what did he do? He pointed people to what? To the scriptures. What does Jesus do over and over again to these religious leaders? He points them again and again to the scriptures, to what God has said, and says, this is the authority. And that's why the people of Israel who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and turning to Him, they hear His voice and they know that this is the voice of God. This is the voice that comes from the Word of God. This is not the teaching that has been added to the Word of God. This is the Word of God. So they hear His voice, and He calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. You know what the shepherd does? The good shepherd, the true shepherd? He leads them out. He doesn't scatter them. He leads them. You know, a shepherd, as he'll come out of the sheepfold, the sheep will follow him. It's not a free-for-all. The sheep know who to follow. And when the shepherd steps out, the sheep follow the shepherd. They don't follow everybody else. They follow the shepherd. We go on to verse 4. The Bible says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, notice, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, I want you to think about the picture here, because Jesus Christ, when he comes on the scene, and he is about to announce later in Matthew chapter 16, we'll see, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So notice here, the sheepfold, in other words, the nation of Israel, the Jews, were in the sheepfold. They were the people of God. But when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he comes through the door, announcing clearly, as he comes in truth, that he is the good shepherd, and he leads them out of the fold of Israel. He leads them out. They follow him. And the Bible says in verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, that means out, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. What is it that prompted people to follow the Lord? It was his words. You remember when Jesus Christ was announced as the Messiah? And you had two disciples that began to leave John the Baptist and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did they follow him? They asked him this question, what word dost thou dwell? You see, they wanted to be around Jesus Christ. And they heard his teaching, they saw his miracles, they heard his preaching, and they thought of a truth. Remember, that's why they said of Jesus Christ, no man ever spake like this man. This man speaks as one that has authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. In other words, they had been led astray, and they recognize now, when the good shepherd comes, that he is the true one. He speaks the truth. And he leads the people out, and the people follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. They know the voice of God. They know the Word of God. If a Jew knew the Word of God, and most of them did, because they knew most of the law, and they studied the Word of God, all of them, they knew the Word of God. So when Jesus comes on the scene and preaches the Word, if anybody was to deny that, they would be denying what the Word of God says. That was replacing the traditions that they so strongly held to. And the Bible says, and the stranger, verse 5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. What is it? What's the stranger? Anybody that came, that added to the law of God, that took away from the law of God, that replaced the law of God, that placed more importance to any person or act above the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the fold of Israel, they're not going to follow a stranger, and Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. So we see here the evidence of the good shepherd. His access to the fold, his announcement to the fold, but we also see his actions to the fold. But number two, we see this, not only the evidence of the good shepherd, but we see the engagement of the good shepherd. The Bible tells us in verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now let me stop and say this here. We just dealt with verse 1 through verse 6. He is not speaking of going to heaven. He's not speaking of salvation. He's not speaking of a thief and a robber coming into the fold of God and going to heaven. That's not what he's speaking of. He's speaking of him as the good shepherd that would lead the fold of Israel in the right path. So as he goes here, he continues now, and he goes now, I'm not only the good shepherd in the way I've came, but now he goes a step further. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Notice here how he engages himself as the good shepherd. First of all, the Bible shows us that he provides. That's what he does. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Notice here, Jesus Christ as the good shepherd comes in. Notice what he does. He provides for the sheep. He says, I am not only the good shepherd, but I am the door of the sheep. You know what that means? That when, and I just talked about the porter, but the shepherd many times was said as he comes into the fold, it would be enclosed and the sheep would come in, and the shepherd would always stand right at the door. He would always stand right at the edge of the cave so that if any wolf, any lion, any bear would come, he would have to go through the shepherd. And no sheep, no enemy, wolf, bear would come in, and no sheep would go out because he's the door. And Jesus said, but notice here what he says. He is the door. So not only does he come as the good shepherd, but now his engagement to the sheep, he provides for them. Notice the Bible tells us, I am the door. By me, if any man, verse 9, enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's not again talking about salvation. He's talking about finding pasture, feeding, provision. We see later, notice, according to verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So notice he's talking about the life of a born-again believer here. The life of a man who trusted Jesus Christ as a Savior. As Jesus Christ announced himself to the fold, now he's become the door. He is the one that provides for the sheep in and out. He's the one that leads them out. He's the one that brings them in and provides safety for them. According to Hebrews, Psalm chapter 23, he brings them into the green pasture. He brings us to beside the still waters. He feeds, he provides for the sheep. How do you do that? Through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. He fed the people of God. That was the accusation that Jeremiah told or gave about the pastors in Jeremiah. He says, you have neglected to feed the people of God. Your preaching has been erroneous. You've lied, you've deceived the people of God, and what you have given is not the truth from the Word of God. You haven't fed my people. And Jesus Christ is here, I'm the door. I'm the one who will bring you into the green pasture. I am the one who will provide for you. I'm not here just to give you life. I am here to give you life more abundantly. I am here to provide for you so that you don't need to go anywhere else. That's why Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see, when Jesus is the shepherd, you don't want anything else. You're satisfied. You got everything you need because he provides. Not only does he provide, but number two, he protects. Verse 11, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, I want you to notice here, giveth his life is not the same as we see later as lay down his life. The idea of giving the life for someone is the idea of protecting them. Later we'll see, he says, the good shepherd layeth his life down for the sheep. Now he's going to talk about his death on the cross. But giving his life for the sheep is in defense, in protecting them. Notice verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But notice, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth. Why? Because he's an hireling and careth not for the sheep. You see, Jesus Christ comes on the scene and says, not only will I provide as the good shepherd, but I will also protect. Because you see, the religious leaders of the day are all hirelings. They are not providing for the sheep to benefit the sheep. They're doing what they're doing to benefit themselves. We just talked about that when we went through the book of Malachi. Remember what the people were saying? They despised the service of the Lord. They said, what's the good in all that we do? What is the good in accepting these sacrifices? Look, we don't have the best to eat. Well, we're not provided for. Everything that they were doing, they refused to do certain tasks in the temple unless they were paid for it. That's a hireling. Someone that does not that takes care of people, not because they care for them, but because it benefits them. You know, sometimes people today, they'll start a church so they can benefit from it. Some people do things for other people so they can benefit, not because they care. And the religious of the day were perfectly characterized as hirelings. People that didn't care about the sheep. And it's evidenced by that because they came doing what? They came scattering the sheep. That's what the end of verse 12 says. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Why? Because the hireling's not here anymore. He's gone. Problem comes, see you later. I'm not here to help you. I'm here for me. But not so with Jesus. You see, Jesus came. Not only does the door provide, but the door of the sheep protects. He protects as the good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. When the wolf comes around, how in the world are we kept safe and protected? We are kept safe through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we not only see here the evidence of the good shepherd, the engagement of the good shepherd, but number three, we see the enlarging of the good shepherd's fold. Notice verse 14, the Bible says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, he just said that he gives his life for the sheep. In other words, everything he does in his life as the good shepherd is in order to protect and provide for the sheep. He gives his life, his energy, his talent, his will to be a benefit to the sheep. But now he goes a step further. Not only does he give his life for the sheep, but he lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Notice as we think about the enlarging of the good shepherd folds, we see two things here. We see, first of all, his sacrifice. He says here that, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 17 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He's speaking here of his death on the cross. That none of us here follow me, because he's dealing here with the problem in Israel. And he comes and says, look, I am the good shepherd because of the evidence of the way I came. I came right by the door. I was announced by John the Baptist. And there's no doubt about it, because of what I've done in my actions, it is clear that I am the good shepherd. And I'm the good shepherd. I'm not like a thief and a robber. I'm not a hireling, because notice in my engagement, I provide for the sheep, and I protect the sheep and preserve the sheep. But I want you to think here, Jew and Gentile, I want you to think as you're listening to my preaching here, I want us to think about the enlarging of the fold, because this fold is not all I came for. Yes, I gave my life for this fold, and everything I did was to provide for this fold and to protect this fold. But the good shepherd has done something more. He's laid down his life for the sheep. So think about the sacrifice that he's speaking of. He says here, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, I lay it down of myself. That's why Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he gave up the ghost. As he saw that everything was accomplished and done, that the sin of every man was paid for, and God was satisfied, Jesus gave up the ghost. That's why they came, they were going to finish him off, and they said, no, he's already dead. No man took the life away from Jesus Christ, he gave it up himself as a willing sacrifice. He is the good shepherd because of his sacrifice, enlarging the fold through the sacrifice. But notice not only his sacrifice, but we see his seeking. Verse 16, and other sheep I have. He says, look, I'm going to, the good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. He's going to die as a sacrifice, as a substitute for the sheep. For what? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. What fold? Israel. The Jew. That he came and announced himself. When he came to the Jew. He didn't come to the world. He came to the Jew first and announced himself to the Jew. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now, he says, through my sacrifice, there is going to be a seeking. Because now it's not just about this fold. It's about other sheep that are not part of this fold that I have. And I must bring in. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know what he says here? He's not saying there's going to be a bunch of shepherds and a bunch of different folds. He says in all of humanity, in all of the parade of human history, there's only going to be one fold. Only one. There's not going to be the fold of the Jew and the fold of the Gentile. It's going to be one fold. So as we think about the good shepherd and the enlarging of his fold, he's announcing to the Jews something they haven't heard. Because he just spoke here of clearly of Jeremiah chapter 23, but now he's going a step further. He said, I didn't just come for Israel and the Jew, although I came for you. But I came for the world. Because I have other sheep that are not part of this fold. And I'm going to seek. And when they hear my voice, just like when you heard my voice, what is it that convinces the Gentile? The truth. The truth of God's word. It is the same thing that convinces the Jew. The truth of God's word. Now we already established how he came. So the Gentile sees the same way. He gets saved the same way. Through the sacrifice of the shepherd. And through his sacrifice and through his seeking, we see the enlarging of the fold of the good shepherd. Now notice verse 19. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Notice here the two things they talked about Christ. The first thing they mention, and I believe the most important, he says, these can't be the words of a devil. The thief cometh forth to steal and to destroy, scatter the sheep. But Jesus Christ came not to scatter, but to lead. This good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's not a bad shepherd. That's a really good shepherd. He says, the words, these words, there's no way they can come from a devil. And then they go on and say, not only his words, but his actions. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? The answer is no. A devil cannot open the eyes of a blind. So as they discuss here, and as there's the conflict going on here, and as we think about this good shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd. Again, who came to the fold of Israel, announced, he came in truth. He didn't come by a wall, deceiving as a robber and a thief, but he leads his sheep out, and he provides for them, and he takes care of them, and he protects them. But he says, look, there is going to be a greater sacrifice. There's something more I'm going to do, and I'm going to lay down my life. Why? Why would he lay down his life? Because of the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The sheep are the whosoever of the world who stand and hear the truth and have the Spirit work in their lives and who repent of their sin and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And these people can be part of the sheepfold. The religious of the day, the religious leaders of the day, were divided about it. People were listening and they thought, well, not sure what he's talking about. You know why? The same reason that in Jeremiah chapter 23, where the religious leaders had taken the people astray, they were more attached to their tradition, to the things that they had added to the law, to all their pomp and circumstance, of all the outward manifestation of their religion. To them, that was more important than to see the man that came in truth. And to say, you know what, there it is. There he is. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior of the world. They rejected that. You know, today, Jesus is saying the same thing. Other sheep I have, they're not a part of this fold. And our job is to present Jesus as the Good Shepherd, who came in truth, who will take care of the sheep like nobody else will. Religion is not going to take care of the sheep. Rituals, religion, religious leaders are not going to take care. I'm not going to take care of the sheep. But Jesus will. He's already taken care of. He's proved it. And He's laid down His life for the sheep. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Let me ask you this. Is He yours? Is He your shepherd? He's either your shepherd or He's not. If He's your shepherd, then your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven. If He's not your shepherd, and you've followed religion, you've followed tradition, you've followed everything in this world except Jesus Christ and what He's done for you on the cross, then today you need to repent of your sin and repent of all the religions, of all the things you've tried to do, and trust in the Good Shepherd who's laid down His life for you.